All right, put him on. Jim.
Yes, Mr. President.
I don't want anybody to know that I've called you if I can avoid it, because it just leads to a lot of complications.
I think only your Secret Service people.
All right, just speak on your own now, and not quoting me or implying or otherwise. Yep. You just keep the candidate from mentioning Vietnam until Tuesday night.
Yeah, he was talking about it anyway.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. This is the most explosive thing you've ever touched in your life. And, his statement that he would stop bombing Vietnam, period, North Vietnam, period, no comma, no semicolon.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 2 weeks to get around that one.
Yeah.
And Mac Bundy's.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wouldn't, he vetoed Chu, so that got Chu mad. Now, Nixon picked up that ball right quick and started going into him through your China lobby friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in deep. Telling Chu and them and Korea and all of them not to go along with me on anything.
Yeah.
Because Humphrey said here that he won't pay a damn bit of attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they better do is wait for him, and he'll never sell them out. That he'll stay with them to hell. He didn't think they ought to ever sold out China.
Yeah.
And they got your little friend Ms. Chenault and the whole outfit in it.
Working at it.
Yes, working at it. So as a result, we had them signed up. When Hubert made his last statement about the veto and not going to stop bombing, no comma, no semicolon, just period, that is, without any condition.
Yeah.
So we worked on it 2 weeks, and we got them back on the ship again. And in the meantime, Nixon got them off. So I had to proceed unilaterally last night, which I didn't want to do, because it could be shambles if the President Chu tonight says he's pulling his army out, you see, then we've just got to come home and it's all over. And it's just so delicate. Now, all the reporters are saying that Humphrey is being very jubilant, very enthusiastic, and that all the aides are saying that this is the difference in the election. Now, if you do, you're gonna get a political issue out of it, and you're going to have these folks, they're getting them answering. You got Hickenlooper and Tower and all the Republicans. And what I would say is just please bar him from mentioning Vietnam.
I'll get that done.
If I had to have one statement,
yeah.
I'd say like President, like Nixon and Wallace and every other American, I pray for peace every night, period. That's all I'd say.
Yeah.
I'll do the rest of it if they'll just won't be enthusiastic and jubilant and so forth, because if we had to order them back to bombing tomorrow,
they're in the soup, that's right.
So I just wanted you to know the facts. Now, you have to act on your own judgment.
Yeah, I'll get it down. Let me make this one point on the staff, people.
Rusk is just scared to death.
Yeah.
He wrote me a memo in longhand, which I read to Hubert, and said, tell him not to open his damn mouth.
Yeah. We got about 150 press, and every one of them are on everybody's backs. The one thing we did was have a staff meeting and say that, play this thing down, you don't know anything. They're only asking us one question, is what's the political effect? We say we just don't know. And only when they pressed too hard, I said I haven't heard anybody make a comment about it except Arthur Schlesinger. Did you see him in the Today Show?
No.
Well, he was on this morning, and the first question was, is there any politics in this? In his usual way, he said, while I have had many differences with President Johnson, this is obviously not political.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's the only comment I've heard on the politics of this, and we don't know. And the local politicians are all, the one thing we can't control is they hit the local polls.
Yeah.
Is they're saying they think it's helpful, but even they are saying they don't know how much. Our people are not saying anything except we don't know, and sticking to that pretty damn closely.
Well,
maybe some of them are breaking it, but I don't think so, and I'll go around and lecture them again.
I just, it's for your good. It's not another thing. I'm not going to get any votes Tuesday, but I just know, and Rusk knows, and Clifford knows, and we have two real explosive things. One, if Hanoi, it invades the DMZ or hits the cities, we're going back in a minute. Just they trigger the motion. Abrams got his orders. So that could leave you pretty dry if you're very jubilant about this move.
Yeah.
The second thing is, we do not know where our allies are, because as a result of the statement 2 weeks ago, we've lost Chu.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that we sell him out.
Mm-hmm.
And Nixon is convinced of it. This damn little old woman lets you know she's been in on it.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, I know it. Hell, I know it. I'm not doubting it.
You
know.
Tommy to pull her out?
I don't know. I don't care. Now, I've already done it.
Yeah.
I took the action at 8 o'clock last night, and mm-hmm. they pulled the planes out. Now we have to wait and see what they do.
Yeah.
We can tell the next 48 hours, if they don't do anything, the people will be very evident that mm-hmm. we had a deal at work.
Yeah.
If they do it, why, then we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got a letter here from Clifford. He's relieved. He said, Mr. President, there have been times without number in the past 5 years when I have admired you for fortitude and determination and very unique effectiveness. As of this moment tonight, however, I feel it more deeply than ever before. Your performance on the Vietnam cessation has been magnificent. It was handled with courage, with rare discretion, and the most admirable statesmanship. I was aware of the myriad difficulties confronted you, and I drew comfort and inspiration from the masterful manner in which you met and you overcame all of them. I have a profound sense of pride in your performance and in your success. Now,
you were hearing this, for what it's worth, again, you're hearing this kind of comment on the street, it ought to please you. Say, this guy's been tough. You think he must be getting us a good, tough deal. You know, they're saying, by God, he's been holding in there.
If we get it,
the man on the street talking.
If we get it, we got three things. They said they would never sit with these puppets.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have said they would. That's number one. Number two, we told them that there's no use coming to the room if they either bomb the cities or abuse the DMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they don't do either, we've got those two.
Yeah.
If they do them, we're right back where we started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're gambling on the latter. We don't know. The Russians tell us they'll be all right. We've told them 12 times, but I just have a hell of a problem between two candidates and Averill. Averill cusses the generals every day, and of course they pick it up, and their ambassador wires their president, said, Harriman said today that you're a bunch of puppet generals. So, of course, if you were president and you had 1 million men out there and you were losing twice as many as the United States, how would you feel about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then the next day, here comes a flash. Humphrey says you never veto anything he does.
Mm-hmm.
So Nixon just picked that one up and went out the same night and said, I won't veto you. We'll work closely together. So then this guy quit me and went to Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bunker's worked all night for the last two nights trying to clean this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told Hubert last night in a longhand note that Rusk has written, which I'll show you someday in my memoirs, let you have a little copy of it. Rusk said, tell Hubert, please not to brag. Please not to be exuberant. Just say, I pray for peace, period.
Yeah.
And let the others, they'll know what it does if we don't jump up and down about it.
Yeah.
So you watch that.
I will. I think his line has been pretty much, this is the president that's handling this, so forth. The only time he showed any jubilation was a little when after we were on the plane, I'm afraid, when a couple of the pool reporters saw him in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, they described him as going up and down the plane being jubilant and exuberant. Yeah. And, of course, that just puts the John Towers, let me show you what they're saying about it, you see. It just, it's a good excuse for them.
Yeah, well, the only mistake, publicly, he didn't make any, but he did, the pool fella saw him doing it.
Here's LeMay, he's talking about the politics of it. General Walt, he's put his mouth in it. One of Nixon's key advisors and a military expert called for further explanation from Johnson. Tower said Johnson's announcement on conditional cessation raised several questions. He is a member of the Armed Services Committee. Nixon has consistently supported the President's efforts in Paris to lead this resolution. But he had the bombing announcement raised questions concerning what the United States received. Very recently, Abrams said that unconditional cessation would permit the enemy to increase his capability. I believe it's incumbent on the President to assure America immediately The circumstances changed. The General Abrams' contention is no longer valid. I think some explanation should be given as the timing of the announcement. Senator said everyone hoped the bombing halt would lead to peace. Let us be hopeful there will be some reciprocal gesture. It should be adequately understood to the American people that this unilateral action on the part of America to refrain bombing does not end it, so forth.
Yeah, the only real problem we've got which we can't handle is the reporters come off these planes, they come into the rallies, they don't pay a bit of attention to Humphrey, they just start looking for local politicians they know. They don't talk to staff people because we're all telling them the same thing and they realize this is a line now.
You know better than I do. All I know are the facts on two things. I want you to know the Asian allies may dump us any minute.
Yeah.
If we do, we've got pandemonium. The second thing, that Hanoi might not go through with it. That's the second thing. The third thing, I think that he could very properly say, and y'all could say, all three candidates said the same thing to the president. We'll back you. This is not any politics. This, all of them said, we will back you up. And that's all there is to say about it.
Yeah. He's been carefully been saying, he said yesterday, there was a, you know, after the call, which you had already said, or I mean, you hadn't, but you did say later, is that we had a conference call. We'd had one on October 16th.
Yeah.
The president informed us. He informed us again.
That was good.
And then,
Then
they started pushing. He said, well, that's all. He said, that's all we know is what he told the three candidates.
Well, what he ought to do now is
he did everything quite well except that one thing
just,
he got there. Is he just, you know, he didn't get out. He may happen to make a good speech and a good crowd and this thing, too, and he just sort of got a little jubilant about
it. You just tell him on your own to just don't mention Vietnam, and when he does, just use two things. Say, all of us said they backed the president as every American ought to, because you got them all back, and that helps him.
That's right.
But we all candidates told him, each one of them, Wallace, Nixon, Humphrey, we back you up on this.
Yeah.
That's number one. All the Joint Chiefs backed us up.
He ought to say that publicly.
Yes, he can. I don't know how public, I don't think he'd put in a speech, but I'd tell everybody to ask me.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't go any further, because I'd say, I don't want to comment any further.
Yeah.
And if I were you and the strategists around him, say, I don't know what effect it has. I think that affects when Johnson withdrew in March. I just think it, because they're already going to try to see if history says we threw an election.
That's right. Well, okay. Now, let me give you this one other thing the press is saying. You can put it in your press back there. There's some kind of a rumor you're going to Texas on the 3rd, and they're saying, is he going to do it? I said, I don't know if he can do it. And they say, well, now, is he up in the mountain as president, or is that old campaign spirit of his coming out? Well, I said, I think he can do both, you know.
Well, I'm going home this afternoon, the next hour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make a television speech Sunday night that I worked on for a week here, and that's going to be my finale.
You're not going to do the Houston
thing? No. I told him that.
With all this churning around, if that didn't sort of get out, that he, you know, that the president's too busy with this problem, he can't get to Houston.
Either. No, I'm just, I'm...
He promised to make a television speech, he'll do that, but he's not going to turn up at that big rally or something like that.
You see, I went on network night before last, went on radio night before that, and I just don't want to be doing it every night as a kind of a barn. Stormer, I just think it loses a good deal of effect. Okay.
Yep. All right, then. Thank you.